Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
They say it takes a village to raise a child. Well, the same goes for a Hollywood career. I'm no diva, I don't need an entourage, but I do rely on agents and managers to steer me right. And sometimes I hire a publicist to get the word out about my projects. It's part of the game. Mine is named Anya, and she is a force. Smart, funny, connected. And her husband, Raphael, is a writer like me. So Anya gets creatives. I used to think there was nothing she couldn't handle. A few months ago, things changed. After years of trying, Anya and Rafa had a baby, just before they turned 40. Wanting more space, they moved to a secluded house by a river in Texas, where Rafa grew up. Anya wasn't giving up her career. After maternity leave, she'd work remotely. But I worried for her. She called a lot. She said she was checking in to make sure her underlings were treating me right. But I think she just wanted a connection to her old world. A world where success came easy. Motherhood was hard. She was capable, no question. And Rafa was a doting dad. Still, Anya always looked frazzled and miserable. And baby Santiago, he was adorable, but not an easy kid. Anya was a helper, but she didn't know how to ask for help. A couple weeks back, I got a video call. I braced myself and turned down the volume, expecting to be deafened by the baby's wails. But the Anya I saw was totally different. Her hair was styled, her eyes were bright, and her mind was sharp. I laughed. "Who are you and what the hell have you done with Anya?" She laughed. "That's why I'm calling. Something wild happened. And Rodney, I think you're the only one who will ever believe me." You're listening to Run Fool. I'm Rodney Barnes, and this is episode 22, La Llorona. Nothing sounds as sweet as a baby cooing, and nothing drives you as crazy as a baby crying. 4-month-old Santiago wailed while Anya and Raphael watched. Anya was at her wit's end. Santi was nestled in a nice crib, surrounded by toys, clad in a designer onesie, perfectly safe in a big house. He had it good, but still, he cried and cried and cried. Rafa nudged her. "Should we snuggle him some more?" Anya gritted her teeth, ignoring her husband's puppy dog eyes. "No, the blogs say he's gotta tough it out. We all do." She reached over to the table, turned on a baby monitor, then headed for the door. With a sly smile, she said, "Come on, we're late for happy hour." Happy hour for Anya and Rafa used to mean rooftop drinks in Venice Beach or bowling at a Brooklyn dive. But ever since the baby and the move to Texas, it meant having a beer on their back patio while the sun set. Rafa cracked open a Modelo and settled into a chair. He loved this new happy hour. The deck overlooked the banks of the majestic Pecos River. He'd grown up an hour away in El Paso, but it was another world. His family struggled. But against all odds, Rafa moved to L.A. and made it as a writer. It was never an escape, though. He just wanted enough money to move home, get a house by the river, and live a quiet life with his family. This was bliss. Anya, well, she liked how happy the view made Rafa, and she savored the one beer she allowed herself a week, carefully planned around the baby's feeding schedule. But something about the river set her on edge. Noise never bothered her before. Her old life was a cacophony of flashing cameras, ringing phones, and clinking champagne glasses. She thrived on chaos. Now the loudest thing in Anya's life were her baby and that damn river, always splashing and surging. A powerful current that felt like it was coming right for her. You could hear it with the windows closed, and she wondered if it was what made Santi cry. Maybe her baby was losing his mind, just like she was. At least they could relate on that front. Rafa held his beer out. Anya saw his cheeky grin, and her anxiety subsided. She clinked her beer against his, then took a well-earned sip when the baby monitor chirped. Santi's cries blared in. Anya reached to turn the volume down, but Rafa stood up. I'm going to check on him. Sorry, babe. I can't not. He set his beer down and ambled in. Anya sank in her chair and watched the sun dip below the horizon. The sky went dark and so did her mood. How was Rafa so much more attuned to the baby's needs? She reminded herself. Santi was their miracle child, and now they had it all. But having it all felt both like too much and not enough. Guilt and anger bubbled within her. She wanted to scream, but the wind beat her to it. A fierce gale kicked up, whistling through the trees, eerie and sorrowful, like a wailing woman. Even louder than the baby's cries on the monitor, the sky got darker, and night seemed to fall at once. The river flowed faster. Anya blinked and realized someone stood in the river, stock still, even as the current rushed past. A woman with long, stringy, wet black hair, wearing a tattered white robe. She lifted her hand to point a gnarled, bony finger right at Anya. Anya whipped around and screamed for Rafa. Someone was out there. She turned back to the river to get a better look, but the woman was gone. She called Rafa again, hoping he'd hear her over the wind. Then she heard him, whispering softly over the monitor. Come on, kiddo. Mommy's freaking out again. That stung, but Anya had bigger things to worry about. Rafa rushed out with the baby. Anya pointed at the river. There was a woman there. But all Rafa saw was a tree branch float by, jutting from the water like a skeletal hand. He told Anya that she'd just seen some debris. She shrugged. Maybe he was right. Rafa handed her the baby, telling Santi to cheer Mommy up. But Santi took one look at his mother's wild eyes and burst into tears. Anya bounced him softly, but she couldn't soothe him. Rafa held his arms out, and Anya handed her son back with a relieved sigh. Rafa was always a little unsettled at how quickly Anya passed the baby off. Thunder rumbled, and rain began to fall. Rafa said they should go inside, but Anya kept watching the river. He took her hand. We're alone. There's nobody out here to hurt us. Anya shook her head. Or help us. The storm raged on. Rafa sat at the kitchen table, noodling away at screenplay ideas in his notebook. The baby was asleep in the nursery, so Anya kept the monitor close as she perched on the couch, checking her work email, even though she was on leave. She was addicted to monitoring her team. Reading the messages felt like a lifeline. The storm made that hard. The Wi-Fi was spotty and the wind shrieked. Anya glanced out of the front window at the winding dirt road that stretched across the country. She raised an eyebrow, because down the road, headlights shone. Pretty rare for such a remote spot. Anya called Rafa in to look. He frowned, then said the car probably belonged to Tim, the old rancher who lived a half mile down the road. Tim knew better than to drive in a storm, but then again, the car wasn't moving. It was just parked there. Rafa saw Anya's eyes widen and her ears draw back, like a spooked cat. He shut the curtains, winked, and told her to get back to spying on her co-workers. Whatever was out there didn't matter. Anya smiled, grateful, and pulled him in for a kiss as the power went out. Rafa and Anya gasped, then burst out laughing. This was so ridiculous. They headed for the kitchen to grab some candles when they heard a knock at the door. Anya's smile faded. Rafa told her it was the wind or a branch hitting the door. Anya almost believed him until they heard another louder knock. A frail woman's voice cried,
"Help me."
Anya moved for the door, but Rafa pulled her back. With a hint of panic, he said to ignore it, but the voice outside asked for help again.
"Help me."
And Anya couldn't stop herself. She opened the door as lightning crackled outside. She faced the monstrous woman she'd seen in the river. Anya screamed as the woman lunged, then collapsed on the floor. Anya's eyes adjusted and she realized it must have been a trick of the light because this woman was no monster. Her long gray-streaked hair was just soaked and her dress looked tattered because it was covered in lace patterns. Anya knelt and the woman gripped her wrists. In Spanish, she rasped, "Ayúdame." Anya shifted into crisis manager mode, which felt good. She barked at Rafa to call the cops or 911, but the old woman shook her head.
No, please. Please. I just need to rest.
Anya helped her to the couch. Rafa stood there looking suspicious. Anya frowned and told him, "Go get candles and boil some water for tea." Minutes later, they listened to the woman's story, which she told in a mix of English and Spanish. Her name was Maria, and she was driving to El Paso to see her son. The storm hit and she ran out of gas up the road. Anya nodded. Ah, the car out there was hers. This was all making sense. Rafa spoke up, a bit gruff. He told Maria to call her son so he could pick her up. Maria stared at him, then nodded. She reached in her pocket, then gasped. She left her phone in the car. She shrugged and laughed. This bugged Rafa. It was like she wasn't taking her own crisis seriously, like she enjoyed playing the victim. He took his phone out and asked Maria for the number. She said she didn't know it. Rafa raised an eyebrow. "You don't know your own son's number?" Maria muttered, "Maybe I'm not the best mother." Anya insisted, "I'm sure you're great. Rafa didn't mean that, right?" He grudgingly nodded. Maria gave him an odd smile, then asked, could he get her phone from the car? Rafa grimaced. Could he wait until the storm died down? He saw a glint of anger in Maria's eyes. Then, she said she'd forgotten her pills in the car, too. She needed to take them soon, so he had to go, now. Rafa asked, what were the pills called? Maria fumbled for an answer, like she was stalling. Anya got up, pulled Rafa aside, and whispered, I don't know what's up with you, but can you go get her stuff, please? Rafa told her, something was off about Maria. Anya glanced back. The old woman stared out, seemingly at nothing, and slurped her tea. It was unsettling, but Anya shook her head. She was weird, sure, but she needed help. Rafa winced. I just don't like leaving her here with the baby. Anya bristled. I'm here. I'll take care of the baby. Rafa, you know I can handle it, right? It took Rafa a bit too long to nod, but Anya pretended not to notice. She kissed his cheek anyway. And he headed out into the storm. Anya moved to close the door when the wind kicked up and slammed it shut. Now, Santi's cries rang out from the baby monitor and from down the hall. It was surround sound sorrow, so Anya rushed to turn the monitor down. She apologized, but Maria's eyes lit up. Her breath quickened, and she asked, You have a child? Anya said she did, and she'd be right back after she took care of him. Meanwhile, Rafa trudged across the dirt road, now an endless mud puddle. The headlights for Maria's car beckoned him like a lighthouse, but he never actually seemed to get to it. She'd parked further than he thought, practically at old Tim's house, a 10-minute walk away. Rafa grunted. Why couldn't Maria have bothered Tim? Finally, he got to the car and realized that something was off here, too. For starters, it was a pickup truck. It was still idling, and there was a half a tank of gas left, so Maria hadn't run out. There was a sexy hula girl affixed to the dashboard and a cowboy's pendant hanging from the rear view. Rafa was pretty sure this wasn't Maria's car. In fact, it looked a whole lot like Tim's truck. Rafa pulled his phone out, hoping he'd save Tim's number. Luckily, he had. He dialed and heard ringing nearby. The pit in Rafa's stomach got deeper. He tried to hear over the shrieking wind and followed the noise, until he found Tim's phone on the ground. The mud around it was messy, like there'd been a struggle. Rafa realized that the tracks in the mud formed a path leading to the river. Something big had been dragged there, probably Tim. But Rafa couldn't stick around to find out. He had to get home to his family. Back in the nursery, Anya held Santi while he wailed. She'd fed him and cuddled him, but he wouldn't quit. She circled the room, feeling helpless. Then she stopped. Maria stood in the doorway. Anya apologized for the noise, but Maria waved her hand and walked in. Her stride was commanding, her gaze full of compassion. She reached out, and a grateful Anya handed her the baby. Maria smiled at Santi. "I wish I could hold my son like this again." Anya nodded. "They grow up fast, huh?" Sadness clouded Maria's face. "Some do." Santi stopped crying, and Anya started crying. She apologized again, moving to the cribside table. She sniffled, tidying up toys and the baby monitor while she poured her heart out. She couldn't wait until Santi was older, until they could bond over movies or books, until she could take him to Paris or give him dating advice. She'd be a great mom someday. She just wasn't sure she was one now. Her admission hung in the air until Maria asked, "Do you know what that makes you?" Anya nodded wryly, remembering what she'd heard from friends, family, and the mommy influencers she followed. "I know. It makes me just like every mom." Maria set the baby in his crib and glared, her eyes full of hatred. "No, dear. It makes you unworthy of being his mother." Then she lunged at Anya. 10 minutes later, Rafa rushed to his door, breathless and terrified. He just called the cops, begging them to send someone their way. They said they would, but in the storm it would take an hour. Rafa cursed himself for moving to such a remote place. What was he thinking? He felt like a failure. Rafa stumbled into his dark house, fearing the worst. Instead, he saw domestic bliss. Anya sat on the couch, cradling their baby. Candles flickered softly on the tables around her, bathing her in a holy glow. She looked like a Renaissance painting. Rafa tried to fill her in, but Anya put a finger to her lips and nodded at the baby. Santi was quiet, not asleep, but awake, staring up at his mom with big, curious eyes. Rafa asked, "What happened to Maria?" Anya calmly told Rafa that he was right. Maria was unstable. After she tried to attack her, Anya forced her out of the house. She said she could wait there until help came, but Maria ran off into the storm. Wherever she went, it didn't matter. They were safe now. Tonight had been a nightmare. Now, Rafa felt like he was in a dream. He sank onto the couch next to Anya. Santiago stirred, threatening to whine, but Anya rocked him gently, and he instantly went quiet. She handled it with perfect maternal grace, the kind Rafa had never seen from her. It made him wonder, was something off about Anya too? Feeling guilty, he tried to shake the thought, but it wouldn't go away. He reached out to hold their son, but Anya jerked back and clutched Santi tight. In a feral whisper, she said, "No." She'd waited so long for this moment, and she wanted to hold him forever. That's when Rafa knew. This wasn't Anya. He insisted on taking the baby, but Anya refused. In a quiet, mocking tone, she asked, "Wasn't this what he wanted? Someone who knew what she was doing, so he wouldn't have to pick up the slack? Someone who didn't rely on baby monitors and books? Wasn't that best for the baby?" Fear gripped Rafa. He scanned the room, wondering how to get Santi out of this woman's hands. His eyes were drawn to the table when the baby monitor chirped. Over the speaker, Rafa heard the sound of rushing water and Anya's voice faintly whispering, "Help me." Rafa leapt up. He knew Anya was by the river. On instinct, he scrambled to the patio, then stopped. He couldn't leave the baby. He looked back to the couch. Maria stood there now, gripping Santi. She shook her head like a scolding nanny. Rafa had chosen his wife over his child. He was unworthy, too. Then she transformed. Her hair got longer. Water streamed out of her eyes and nose and mouth, and her dress rotted away into tatters. Her face grew hollow and hungry, and in a wet rasp, she insisted, "This baby deserves better." Rafa dashed towards her, but Maria shrieked and burst past him with superhuman speed, knocking him down into the coffee table. Rafa saw stars, but he heard the patio door glass shatter. Maria was headed for the river. Moments later, Rafa staggered off the patio. He could hardly see in the storm, but he spotted a lump on the riverbank. It was Anya, bloodied and beaten, half submerged, clutching the baby monitor. Rafa knelt beside her. Desperate, he asked her where Maria was. Anya couldn't speak, but she pointed her trembling finger at the river. Lightning filled the sky, illuminating Maria. She stood calmly in the water even as the current rushed past, and she held baby Santi. Rafa rushed to her, crying out, "Who the hell was she, and what does she want?" Maria grinned and dipped Santi low, almost to the water. Rafa stopped in his tracks and Maria nodded. "Good boy." Rafa was sure if he came closer, she'd hurt his son. He had to be careful. He took slow steps, circling Maria in a standoff. She told him her name was Maria, but most called her La Llorona, the Wailing Woman. Centuries ago, she was driven mad by an unfaithful husband. She drowned herself in the river, along with her baby. She'd cursed herself with this unspeakable act and was forced to wander the waters with a terrible gift. She could sense parents who were as miserable as she'd been, who weren't fit to raise a child, who were unworthy. She was happy to take their babies and put everyone out of their misery. Maria went on, but Rafa stopped paying attention. In their circling, he now faced the riverbank, and his heart filled with hope. Anya was creeping up behind Maria. She could barely walk, but her eyes were ablaze with mama bear resolve. She motioned to Rafa, and he understood. She was going to grab Maria so he could take their son back. Anya threw herself at Maria, grabbing her long hair and wrenching it back. Maria shrieked louder than the wind, and Rafa ripped Santi from her arms. He staggered back, joy pulsing through his veins, until Santi slipped from his grip and fell into the river. Rafa screamed as the current dragged his son away. He dove, desperate to find him before he drowned. He felt a thrashing. Anya swam beside him. They dashed through the water until Rafa spotted a hand. He kicked his legs until he caught up to it. He reached out for it, then realized with horror this hand was way too big to be a baby's. It wasn't Santi. It was their neighbor, Tim's bloated, waterlogged corpse. Anya cried out, and Rafa collapsed in her arms. This was all too much. They'd never find their son. He clutched his wife, coughing and choking, telling her how sorry he was. Anya did the same, but it was too late. They might as well drown too. All of a sudden, the current went still. The wind and rain died down, and they heard the best sound in the world. Their son's angry, insistent, beautiful wails. La Llorona glided across the water, looking like Maria again, and carrying Santi in her arms. Anya reared up with rage, but Maria held the baby out. Anya took her son in one arm and grabbed Rafa with the other. Now both parents cried, far louder than their baby, a symphony of sorrow and hope. Maria told them she was sorry. Centuries of grief and guilt had warped her mind. All she could see were her own flaws and other parents' flaws, but there was no mistaking their resolve for anything but deep, fierce parental love. She sighed. "I was wrong. You're not unworthy. You're just unprepared." Anya and Rafa looked at each other, fearing she was right. Sensing their worry, Maria placed a hand on each of their shoulders. She smiled, eyes lighting up with an idea. I stared at Anya on the call, dying to hear the end of her horror story. But before I could ask what happened, someone walked past in the background, an older woman, carrying a pile of freshly laundered baby clothes. Instantly, I knew. It was Maria. I stammered, "Is La Llorona your nanny?" Anya laughed, like she could barely believe it herself. She said Maria was a great help. She was desperate to feel useful, to atone for her sins, and nobody could get Santi to stop crying like she could. I wanted to leap through the screen. "Anya, is he with that woman right now?" Anya laughed. "No, Santi's right here." She bent down, reaching for a carrier, and pulled up Santiago. He nestled in his mom's arms, gurgling and giggling. Rafa leaned in to wave hello. I asked, "Was everything really okay?" He nodded. "Takes a village, right? Honestly, Rodney, we've never been happier." Maria walked back into frame behind them. She stopped to stare at her new family, her eyes warm, but watchful too. "Look, maybe Anya and Rafa were happy, but something felt off." There was a desperate edge to their cheer. Where their smiles said happy, their eyes said hostage. Like it was too late. Like they were trapped for the long haul. Like they'd brought a strange, unpredictable force into their home that upended their lives and filled them with fear and doubt. Like they knew if they screwed up, there'd be bad consequences. Maybe that's because of La Llorona, or maybe that's just parenthood. Run Fool is a production of Ballin Studios, Campside Media, and At Will Media. It is hosted and executive produced by me, Rodney Barnes. This episode was written by Amin Osman and produced by Abakar Adan and Lee Mengistu. Sound director, designer, and mixer is Kevin Seaman. Creature vocalization by Colette Anderson and artwork by Jessica Clogston Kiner. Production support by Jeremy Bond and Cole Lacasio. Special thanks to our operations team, Doug Slaywin, Ashley Warren, Sabina Mara, and Destiny Dingle. Executive producers at Ballin Studios are Mr. Ballin, Nick Witters, and Zach Levitt. Executive producers at Will Media are Will Malnati and Rosie Guerin. Executive producers at Campside Media are Matt Scher, Josh Dean, Vanessa Gregoriadis, and Adam Hoff. Thanks for listening. See you next week.